He gives strength to me as I worship Him, and my heart is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the bands as I raise my hands. He gives gloria, victory. He gives strength to me as I worship Him, and my heart is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the band as I hand. He gives gloria, victory. Lift your hands and sing it to the Lord. He gives strength to me as I worship Him, and my heart is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the bands as I raise my hands. He gives glorious victory. One more time. He gives strength to me. Can you feel it? As I worship Him, and my heart is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the bands as I raise my hands. He gives gloria, victory. Let us worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Just lift your hands and just love the Lord and worship the Lord. Any way you want to, just let the Lord flow over you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, this will not be a long message, but I pray you'll never forget it. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, Jesus is speaking. And he says in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I want to talk to you today about a very simple subject, simply entitled, The Pearl of Great Price. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning, we stand in the awesome presence of God. Your Spirit has caressed and moved upon this congregation in all the areas of this building and all the areas of ministry already today. You have spoken to us, O Lord, in the Shepherd's Class. God, you have moved mightily in these nights and this past week. This morning, O Lord, will you give us a fresh and new touch of God? Will you, O Lord, lift us even higher? Will you draw us even closer, I pray, in the wonderful, blessed name of Jesus? Anoint these lips of clay, I pray, in Jesus' blessed name. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. Let's give the Lord one wonderful hand clap today. Sounds so wonderful. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory today. O Master of the universe, walk in the aisles of this place. And O God, through the corridors of our heart today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I was not raised in Pentecost. I did not find this until I was 23 years of age. It was unusual. The story is a long one, so I won't belabor the point. But it is unusual that when I first visited one of these kinds of services, it was not to my liking. I did not like all that I saw, and I certainly did not like what I felt. Because I was unable to relate to it, and because I was unable to identify with it, and because conviction does not make one feel good, it makes one feel badly. And I was struggling with something inside of me. And so when the service was over, I was delighted, and they asked me to come again. And I said, well, don't call me, I'll call you.
That way it was in my control, and I never intended to call, to be perfectly frank. I didn't want anything to do with you people because you were different and because you were a little strange and you were too much for my particular kind of personality. And so I had no intention of ever coming back. But the unusual thing about it was that even though you were not there in body, you had a way of following me. I could hear you sing in the nighttime. I could hear the preacher preaching when I was trying to go to sleep. There was something about it that I was unable to disconnect myself from it. It was like I had somehow got short-circuited into this particular situation, and I was unable to keep the current from coming through. And even though I didn't like it, I ventured back again and disliked it even more because I realized that if I ever got involved with you people, it would cost me everything I was. It would cost me all of my plans. It would take everything away from me I had ever given myself to or was hoping to achieve in this life. My story in this world is poor boy made good. My daddy was an alcoholic. I could tell you a lot of things about all of that. But when I finally got into the world, I made big. And I was going to do something with my life. And I was going to achieve. And I was going to arrive at the top. It was in my heart to do it. And I was on my way. And then I met you. And there was something inside of me that understood and knew that if I ever really embraced this, my future would be taken away. My plans would be sold. And there was something about it that I resisted and I fought. Because to come to this situation looked like I was going back to the thing that I had come out of. Because I did not come to a beautiful edifice like this. I came to a home missionary Pentecostal church where there were cobwebs hanging from the ceiling that was unfinished, and you could see all the wires and all the fuse boxes, and there were splinters in the pews, and there were carpet was worn out, and they had these tambourines and they had these guitars, and they were beating and hammering and whining and doing all of this stuff, and there was nothing about you that was attractive to me. And I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and finally one day, in the presence of people like you, I could not fight any longer because there was something among you that was from ancient days. There was something among you that was from yester century, yester millennia. There was something that came walking out of antiquity in sandaled feet and in long robes with hands and eyes that reached for me, and I wasn't able to say no any longer. I had to say yes, but I can tell you the most astronomical thing happened to me when I finally decided to say yes. There was something about giving up my lifestyle. There was something about giving up my future. There was something about getting rid of everything that was not, shall I say, quote unquote, kosher, that did not bother me. It did not matter anymore. And I cannot explain that. I cannot explain that. Because for months, the very thing I fought, I suddenly, in seconds, gave myself over to it. And it did not matter. I did not care. I do not have a lot in this life. But what I have, I like. The things I have in my apartment are mine. It's my junk, but it's valuable to me. You've got your junk, and I've got my junk. And if I die today, someone will come in, and they'll sell it and give it away. And the things I polish and dust, someone else will trample underfoot. That's exactly what it's all about. That's why Jesus said life does not consist in the abundance of things possessed. It doesn't, people. Carpet does not speak to you. Drapes do not speak to you. Artifacts do not speak to you. Pennies do not speak to you. Chandeliers do not speak to you. But there is a spirit of an omnipotent, omniscient God that will come through all of that. And He will speak to you in the corridors of your heart where you live. Life, abundant life, is in this man, Christ Jesus. But I can tell you today, that if someone called me while I'm here and said that that place had burned and I had lost everything I've got, it would have a terrible effect upon me. If someone broke into that apartment and stole some of those things I've got there, it would have a terrible effect upon me. But if this morning in this particular service, if the Holy Ghost were to move on my soul and heart and say, Lee, I want you to let go of all of it and I want you to go to yonder distant shore and I will make a new life for you and I will give you souls. There is something about it. I could give it away and it would not matter to me at all. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I have watched missionaries who have gone to cities in this country and built beautiful churches and got a nice home established and come to a national conference and in a home missionary service the Holy Ghost get a hold of their heart just when they could sit down and relax and they could take life easy and begin to enjoy the fruit of the labor of their hands and God called them to an unchurched city. I've watched couples walk down aisles and let go of everything, turn it over to somebody else and go somewhere else and start over. And people, there is something about that I don't fully understand. I have watched people from this country leave all, sell all, give it all, and go to places where they didn't speak the language. They were different colored skin. Let go of everything. Give up everything. Leave fathers and mothers and brothers knowing that some relatives would die before they could get back. And yet get on a plane or a boat and go! And I don't understand all of that. But I know it happens because it has happened to me. People, there are some things I just don't worry about anymore. There are some things I can't explain, but I don't worry about it. I have learned to pray a prayer of relinquishment. I'm going to walk with God. What He does is up to Him. He can do with me what He wants to do with me. He can do whatever He wants to do. It is the safest place in the world to be, to cast yourself into the hands of God and let Him do what He wants to do with you. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He can worry about it. I have today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not here. But I have today. And I'm going to make the most of today. I'm going to worship God. I'm not going to apologize to anybody. I'm going to rejoice in my soul. I'm going to rejoice in my heart. I'm going to have a great time in Jesus. And if He comes this afternoon, I shall rise to meet Him. I shall go to meet Him in the clouds of glory. Let's clap again, because there is faith and there is appreciation and there is joy in this congregation today. When I came into this in the beginning, there were things I did not like. And may I say to you, there are still things I don't like. But Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like unto a field. I was raised on a farm. Part of my chores every night were to go and get the cows. I used to have to go clear to the end of the pasture. In that field, there were chuck holes, there were ditches, there were rocks, there were thistles. There was poison ivy in the fence row, and if I got too near to it, I'd break out with it. There was poison poison oak, rather, on the other side of the pasture or the field. There were some places in that field where it was smooth like a golf course. Other places were a tangle of vines and just all kinds of just tanglement. And invariably, sometimes the cow would get into that. I have to go through it. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a field. He said, but in that field, there is a treasure. He said, he really indicated here very, very acutely and sharply, you cannot just go into the field and dig up the treasure and take the treasure. In order to get the treasure, you have got to buy the whole field. In order to get the treasure that is in the field, you have got to buy the whole field. And when I came into this, I knew if I ever got what you have a hold of, I would have to buy the whole thing. I had to take the whole thing. I couldn't take the Holy Ghost out of this and take it back where I came from. I couldn't take baptism in Jesus' name back where I came from and recondition it to a more acceptable situation in my life and to my personality. If I came into this, I had to come and get it exactly the way you got it. I had to live it the way you lived it. I had to buy the whole field. I had to take the tambourines. I had to take the guitars. I had to take the cobwebs and the splinters. And I had to take the little old humble setting. We didn't have stained glass. I had to buy the whole field. And people, I'm telling you today, no matter what you think of us or what you think about all of that you're in, if you ever get a hold of this thing, it's going to cost you everything that you have got. You're going to have to buy the whole field. You're going to have to take it all. You're going to have to learn to clap. I had to learn to clap. You're going to have to learn to shout. You're going to have to learn to sing. You're going to have to learn to do what's right. You're going to have to learn to live for God. If you get the treasure, and there is a treasure here today. There is a treasure in this place today. There is a treasure. There is a treasure. Do you understand the word treasure? There is a treasure in this place today. But you'll have to buy the entire field. I used to go to the field. I discovered something. The things I did not like, I realized I could change it. You can chop out the thistles. You can straighten up the fence row. You can spray the poison. You can kill the woodchucks and fill in the holes. You can move the rocks. You can change some things. You can work with it. When I came into this, I didn't have a clap. I was afraid I could not keep the beat, and they would go 90 miles an hour. And I wasn't sure I could get the hang of it. You know how I learned to clap in a Pentecostal service? I got caught in a trap on the front seat in a camp meeting. And my pastor knew how my personality was. And he wanted to get me involved at the camp meeting because I just got baptized. He said, let's everybody clap. And they sang the chorus. I didn't clap. Because clapping was foreign to me in church. They sang it once and twice, and he glanced at me, and I wasn't clapping. He stopped everything. He said, this time I want everybody to clap. They all got to clapping, and they took all about 90 miles an hour. They were into it. I thought, I can never keep up with this. I don't know how to get into this and act like they act. And I was right on the front seat. I cursed the moment that I walked up there. Can you understand that? And they sang a couple of times, and he stopped. He said, this time I want everybody. But this time everybody was looking at me because there was nobody else clapping but me. I thought, God, you've got to help me. I've got to get into this. I don't know how to do it. This is how I did it. He took off, and I did this with my fingers on my knee. I thought, I got to get the feel of it, and I got to go on like this. And it wasn't too bad. I could do it. And I got my hands going like this, and I got the hang of it. I got the feel of the thing. And I liked it. I was amazed at myself. I liked it. I got my hands in the air. And I was with them. And to be quite frank with you, I don't understand you if you don't clap and sing to the Lord. I don't understand what's going on with you if you don't lift your hands and clap and worship the Lord and praise Him. It's part of the field, people. It's part of the price you pay to get a hold of what you've got a hold of today. The Bible Bible says to clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. So we will clap our hands unto the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who is in us all, above us all, and through us all. Every place I go for years I have Pentecostals clap. Make them stand and clap. I'll tell you why I do it. Because I have been in the theater at one time in my life. I have watched some of the greatest performances human eyes could ever watch. I've heard some of the greatest operas, some of the greatest concerts that human ears could ever hear. I have seen some of the greatest performances you'll ever want to see. And I have watched actors and actresses take rounds of applause at curtain calls. I've watched them bow, throw roses, flowers. I've watched people be carried out on shoulders of people because they gave a performance. But nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a man called Jesus who hung upon a rugged tree. He died suspended between heaven and earth. It was the greatest performance that human eyes will ever hear. It is the greatest performance that human ears will ever hear and eyes will ever see. There's never been anything like it. But nobody was there to applaud. Nobody was there to clap. And so we're going to do it now. We will give him a standing ovation. We will give him a standing ovation. We will thank him. Thank you. Thank you. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. I've never known anything to be so close. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You may be seated. Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This thing is like a field. You've got to buy the whole field, but you'll get the treasure. And it's worth it. But he said it's also like a pearl of great price. I tell you that I have been to London, England, and I have seen the crown jewels of England with my own eyes. The diamonds, the pearls that are encrusted in the crowns of the monarchs through the centuries. It's absolutely fabulous to behold. I stood there and looked at all the gems that were encrusted in that gold and in that silver and those scepters. How they're set in intricately into all of those settings. Emeralds, sapphires, rubies, diamonds, pearls. It's amazing to me that man will sell everything, buy, cheat, steal, lie, kill for these shiny stones, which are nothing more really than just composites of minerals that are formed under heat and pressure. But man deems them so valuable that he will do anything to acquire them or to have them pass through his hands. The greats in the world who are elevated to places of power and authority and dignity in human eyes wear these things on their body in one way or another. And wealth and status is recognized and known by the amounts of gold and silver and then what they call gems. Gems are nothing more than minerals. They are formed below the surface of the earth under great pressure and heat. And it's amazing, because pearls are different than gems. Pearls are not at all like rubies or diamonds or sapphires. pearls, they're totally different. There's a little animal in the sea that God created called an oyster. And when a little foreign piece of material, a grain of sand, or whatever, the ability to secrete something called mother of pearl secretion. And all that tiny animal does is surround that little grain of sand with successive layers of mother of pearl until it is heaped up and covered and covered and covered until that tiny piece of sand is no longer recognized as a piece of sand, but it now has been transformed into something that is lustrous. And they vary in color from gold to black to gray to white. And depending on the color and the size determines their value. The unusual thing about this is that gems reflect light, but pearls absorb it. And when they absorb it, there is that soft afterglow or luster around the pearl that makes it attractive to a human eye. I have heard it preached all of the years I've been in this, that Jesus is the pearl of great price. That you sell everything you've got and you buy Him. Well, if that be so, let us consider this. A gem can be divided. A diamond can be split in half and you'll have two diamonds. A ruby can be divided and you'll have two rubies. An emerald can be broken into various facets and little groupings and you can have a number of them. But when you divide a pearl, you have nothing. You have ruined it. It is destroyed. You cannot divide a pearl. And when the pearl is finally brought to the surface, the oyster dies. Death is involved. The pearl cannot be divided. If Jesus is the pearl of great price, you cannot cut Him in half. You cannot divide Him. You cannot divide your dedication to Him. You cannot divide your consecration to Him. Because if you do, you have nothing. It is thrown out. You have destroyed the worth and the value of the treasure. It's gone forever. The Bible says, the kingdom of God is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I don't really feel like Jesus is the pearl of great price. I don't feel He is. I feel we've had that backwards all along. Because I did not purchase Jesus. Jesus became the merchant man seeking goodly pearls. I did not purchase Him. He purchased me. He purchased me. He sought me 21 years ago. He followed me. He died for me, as it were. He reached for me. He pulled me out of the setting that I was in. He lifted me out of that. Is it possible, people, that you and I are the pearl of great price? Is it possible that God loved man so much that He left His royalty, His regality, His splendor, and that He came walking down an ivory stairway and stepped into this sin-cursed world and began to try to find pearls of great price? Most of us have been wrapped around over and over again with successive layers of His grace, of His mercy, of His truth, of His love. Until now, we don't reflect His light, but we absorb it. We have absorbed the light of the gospel. We have absorbed the light of this man called Jesus, and we reflect that thing back into the world. It causes my heart to tremble. It causes me to be broken. It causes us to weep as we did here last night, because we begin to understand a love like that. He looked beyond our faults and saw our need. He could have left us at the bottom of the sea of life, undiscovered, unclaimed, to die or to perish in all of that, in obscurity, lost, have become eaten by the scavengers of this world. But he didn't. He painstakingly sought us. He wooed us with bands of love. He talked to us. He persuaded us. Do you know why I love him the way I do? Do you know why I live for him the way I live for him? Because I understand and realize that he paid the debt he did not owe. And I owed the debt I could not pay. He purchased me. I am a pearl of great price to him. He will do anything for us because he bought us. He will repolish you if you become marred. He will lift you again and again. We are a treasure unto the King. He has done for us what human beings do in this world for gems. He fought for us. He resisted the devil. He died to give us life. Jesus purchased me. He purchased you. You are a treasure in the hands of the Creator. You're more valuable than Yosemite. You're more valuable than the peaks of the earth. You're more valuable than the valleys or the sands of the sea. You're more valuable than the stars of the night. You're more valuable than the sun of the universe. You're more valuable than the moon that reflects the light of the sun. You're more valuable than anything. He purchased you, and he purchased me. That makes us special in this world. Not like unto the world. We're not like the others. We're not like them. We're not like them. We're different. Would you lift your hands for just a moment? And would you absorb the light of Jesus Christ? Consider who you are today and what you are. And I close with this morning. A while ago when we clapped, there was such an intensity in the clapping, and there was such a reaching. For just a moment, while we were clapping, it was like, and I've seen this in the natural, but I've never seen it in the spiritual quite like this. It was like there was a veil drawn that I could see through, and I could see the outline of a man whose form I recognize. And there was something that spoke to me and said, if you will clap a little harder,
if you will demand a second performance, the veil will roll back and he will come forth into this congregation today. Could we stand at the end of this session with a field in mind, with the value of a pearl, and could we give him a standing ovation? We need a curtain call, an additional curtain call today, and he will step from behind the veil and walk into your life. Something is coming toward us today. I want to see him. I want to see him. Hallelujah. If you are here this morning and you want to be purchased by this merchant called Jesus, if you are here today and you want to be purchased by him, you want him to reach to you and take you as his prized possession. You can come this morning. As the organist begins to play again, he gives strength to me as I worship him. If you will come from where you are this morning, and if you will stand at this altar of prayer, he will break loose the bands, the shells. He will pull you from the thing that imprisons you. He will take you from the depths of sin and lift you to the surface of the sunlight of his glory and grace. And you'll look full into his face. Are you here today? And do you want to be purchased by this man, Christ Jesus? Would you come today? Would you come today? As I worship, as I raise my hands, he gives glory. You're a saint here today. Victory. And for the first time in your life, you understand your worth. And you want to be even more valuable to the Lord. Would you come from where you are?
As I worship him. And my heart is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the bands.